This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Isaac. Our next guest is Professor Don Campbell, and from Northern Health, and we're going to talk about, we've spoke about this right back at the start, when, how do I pronounce, the intranasal heparin trial, and it's also, oh look, it's got a, it's called Inherit, I like that, but this is a trial that you got underway because you had an idea, a theory about, you know, when COVID hit, about one of the measures that perhaps would protect people, and you had this idea that a heparin spray up your hooter, up your nostrils, and there's some wonderful footage if you look on YouTube of Don squirting stuff up his nose, how this would provide a level of protection against COVID. So the trial has started, but it's continuing. First off, before we get to how people can take part in this, because this is one of the reasons we're talking to you, tell us how the trial has gone so far.
Well, thanks, Macca. The easy thing to say is it's very easy to have an idea.
Yep.
It's harder to get funded and to get started. And I can tell you that when it comes to running a clinical trial, it's all about recruitment. And we've had several waves of COVID. And if I was a professional surfer, you'd have to say I was a complete non-entity because, you know, we've missed a couple of the waves. And the community think that COVID has gone. And the real issue is that COVID hasn't gone away and there will be further waves, and we need to ramp up our recruitment to complete the trial, because if we can demonstrate that we have an effect, we've got an effective early treatment and pre- and post-exposure prophylaxis. And I think that's where our attention at a policy level needs to head. Vaccines are great. Love vaccines. Totally support the idea of vaccination. But stopping people from getting infected.
In the first place.
And I think Joy FM would be well aware of the value of prevention rather than cure, because the community have led the way in rethinking our approach to prevention of viral illness.
So I think when the trial started, Don, we wanted to see what impact this would have, what the results would say. Now, do you have any initial results that you can talk about?
No, we're not allowed to crack the code.
Okay.
We've got a data safety and monitoring committee, so there's no peeking.
Let me ask you this question. Has there been any point in doing the trial? Has it had a negative result?
No, I think the it's a provocative question, and I can at the level of value for money in public expenditure, whether the trial produces evidence of impact or not, the trial will have been
worthwhile
conducting, because we're learning a lot about firstly creating a platform for early intranasal antiviral therapies. I've got a particularly strong belief that heparin is a highly appropriate place to start that conversation. But in terms of thinking about where we will get best bang for buck in preventing the transmission of COVID at a policy level, we are not there yet. We're not even in the frame. People certainly aren't looking for solutions from intranasal therapies. And I think heparin is a superb drug for a wide number of reasons, but intranasal approaches, early therapy, pre- and post-exposure prophylaxis, and I think this trial is getting that mindset into play, whereas it's not in play. I spoke to the Director of Pandemic Response for the World Health Organization, a really engaging fellow called Michael Ryan. I'll tell you a little bit about him in a moment, but I asked him whether they would consider funding this, and he just said, oh, we haven't thought about pre- and post-exposure prophylaxis.
Tom, can I just ask a quick question about why? Because it sounds like the most simplest solution in the world, one that probably is less intrusive than, you know, the vaccination process that we've all been through. Why do you think that people are not taking this as seriously, perhaps, as it could be taken?
I don't think people understand that it's a nasal infection in the first place.
Mm.
And if the site of infection's the nose, why not
protect it?
Why not protect it?
Yeah.
And what sort of things could you use? Well, if you're going to develop novel drug therapies, there is a long sequence of events that you have to go through to do that. We're taking an established, known therapy, the second most widely used drug on the face of the earth. We've got 80 years of experience in using this intravenously as an anticoagulant. We know about it. And we also know that if you spray it in your nose, there is zero oral bioavailability. It goes down the back of your throat, into your stomach, gets digested, and doesn't get absorbed. It's a very large, highly negatively charged molecule. The absorption is minimal, if any. We can't detect any change in the coagulation profile after people have had heparin administered to their nose. They've certainly tried to look for heparin in the nasal fluid in my nose after I've taken the heparin, and you can't detect it after about an hour or two. So the whole idea of intranasal antiviral therapies, and this particular compound will also work against influenza and RSV, and that's been known for influenza, it's been known for a long time.
Yeah.
And for RSV, it's certainly been known for a while. And so the idea of an intranasal antiviral therapy, and you know, I'm not going to pretend that heparin's the only one out there. The Israelis have already got one. I forget the name of it. I'm sorry. I know that there are other pharmaceutical development companies in Melbourne developing other drugs for intranasal application. So Melbourne and Victoria in particular is well placed to become world leaders in intranasal antiviral therapies. We just have to think that it's possible.
Mm. So you're looking for more volunteers, and to just who can be in it? So anyone who's over 5 years old,
yep,
and test positive to COVID. You must also be living with someone else who is willing to be part of the study. So you need to give consent.
Yes.
Always good. You'll get a nose spray treatment. Now, it might be salt water, it might be heparin. Yep. Neither you or the study team are going to know which one you get. You've got to use the nose spray 3 times a day for 10 days. You'll need to do nose swabs by yourself. They're similar to...
Our nurse, the lovely Madonna, will come out...
Oh, Madonna.
Madonna will come out and do your nose swab.
Oh, look, that's the key word. You're going to get heaps of LGBT. If they think Madonna's going to visit them. So Madonna's going to come to your home and
she's now famous.
do the test for you.
Yep.
You'll need to do a survey of your symptoms for the 10 days, and the study team will keep in touch with you over the course of 12 months. So it's not really a very intrusive process. There's not much you need to do.
No, we're not going to stick a needle in you.
No.
And we're going to follow you up to see whether – we also want to see whether we can reduce the risk and severity of long COVID.
Yes.
So I think the reasons why people will want to – potentially be involved in the study is no one wants to be responsible for giving grandma COVID.
No.
That's usually a career-ending move. And the other one is they don't want the long COVID sequelae, and we think 7 to 10% from the international studies of people will have persistence of COVID, symptoms referable to COVID beyond 6 months. So
how do people – because you want
– I need 400 households.
Okay. And interesting, you know, you talk about PrEP. My community has a lot of experience with PrEP, so we know what it is. And that's one of the reasons, you know, when Don and I spoke, come in here, mate, and talk about this, because our community, my community is very familiar with it.
And monkeypox, Mac.
And monkeypox.
The work we did on monkeypox was phenomenal.
You know, we led...
As a community.
You know, as a community that, you know, governments don't always act as quickly as you would like. We got up them and on monkeypox and said, hey, you need to get more vaccine. You need to make it available. And it was our health response that was informed over many decades around HIV and other STDs that allowed us to advocate on evidence. So how do people join the trial, Don?
Well, what they need to do is if they're RAT positive, RAT test positive,
yep,
within 72 hours, and they live with another person who's so far COVID negative, inherit.study@nh.org.au. So that's the email address, inherit.study@nh.org.au. But if you Google intranasal heparin, we'll come up top of the list, and you can click on that. There, we've also got an SMS number, if I can read that out.
Sure.
0481 983 452. 0481 983 452.
So you need 400.
Yep.
Is there capacity for more? What about if you get inundated?
If we get inundated, very interesting question to ask me, because how we have a flexible, deployable workforce, we've got them prepped.
Yep.
We're ready to go, and we're really well placed to respond to an avalanche. If an avalanche could land on us, we'd be absolutely delighted.
So you're not allowed to tell me the result of the trials you've already done?
I don't know them.
Oh, you don't? Oh.
I'm not allowed to know them. It's what we call a double-blind, randomised, controlled, placebo-controlled trial. So double-blind, the person enrolled doesn't know.
Yep.
The person running the trial doesn't know. The data is...
Anonymised?
Well, it's anonymised, and it's managed by Annika Grobler, who's our biostatistician at Murdoch Children's. So a shout-out to Annika. She's our data person, working with Paul Monagle and his team at Murdoch Children's Research Institute, working with us out at Northern. And there's a large group of people on our support and advisory panel across from various health care institutions across Melbourne.
Great. Thank you, Don, for coming in, and I hope people, and it is Inherit, I-N-H-E-R-I-T, study@nh.org.au. The SMS, 0481 983 452. I hope you get 400. I actually want to do a call out. I want to thank the previous Health Minister, Martin Foley, for listening to you guys and for getting the funding for this trial. It wouldn't have happened unless Martin, as the Health Minister, saw some benefit in this. So thank you, Martin. I know you're no longer in the Parliament, but, you know, this, you know, Don's group and Martin Foley made this happen. This is something really important, and I encourage people, you know, get involved. You could actually be part of a cohort that actually, you know, get some evidence-based outcomes that might save lives.
I think this is a world-changing opportunity. It's such a simple idea, Don. Can I suggest that you text Macca maybe middle, back end of next week, just to give us a view of what's happened? And then next week, Macca, let's repeat all of the details and all of the contact information.
Well, I won't be here. I'll be in Seoul.
I'll
be in Seoul.
I'll sort it out then, just to give you another bite of the cherry, Don.
But I'll be taking my heparin spray on the aircraft and into Seoul. So once again, Don, thank you. Let's hope you get inundated. There's a wave of LGBTQI folk wanting to take part in this, and also our allies who also listen to the show. He needs 400. Let's get him 450.
Thank you very much, Macca. Thank you to Joy FM, and thank you to Martin Foley and to the team that's working with us at Northern and at the MCRI and at University of Melbourne Pharmacology and Monash Institute of Pharmaceutical Sciences, and the others from across the support group from the Royal Melbourne, Western, Northern, and to Barry Dixon at St Vincent's.
There you go.
Thank you.
Melbourne, we've got this, hey?
Yeah.
We've got this.
Isn't this good to see our tax dollars doing some good shit?
Don, thank you ever so much.
Thank you. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Macca and Isaac, stay tuned. We're going to talk about how the working hours of international students have been basically arbitrarily cut by the federal government. Stay with us.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.